So before I begin, I would just like to mention that if there are children in the room that are screaming out as they are now, please, we would appreciate, as part of the fact that we love your child, for the benefit of everyone who wants to hear the talk without interruption, please bring the child outside. We do have this talk archived, so you can hear it on your computer online. Just go onto recent classes or today's classes, and the entire talk is available there. So you won't be missing anything if you have a computer. You can go online. Thank you very much, and my apologies for having to ask you to leave with your child. I want to thank you all for coming, giving me an opportunity to share with you the glorious teachings that Srila Prabhupada has brought, the teachings of Lord Sri Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are glorious, they are wonderful, they are amazing, and I hope by his grace and by your prayers that I will be able to say something useful and beneficial for all of us tonight, so that we can all leave with a hopefully even better understanding that we have of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Sri Krishna, and that we may take this information, take this knowledge back to our homes and utilize it and apply it in our daily life, so that our daily lives may become better, please take the child outside. Yes, thank you. So that our lives may become better, improved, more peaceful, and happier. Thank you so much. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I will be reading from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 65. This verse happens to be one of the most important, if not the most important, verses in the Bhagavad Gita. It is the essence of the entire Bhagavad Gita, and as I read the English, you will see exactly what is meant. Srila Prabhupada has quoted this particular verse over and over and over throughout his lectures, his room conversations, and and various articles that he has written. It is the most important verse. So I will read the Sanskrit first, if I can see it. It looks like I might be able to make that. Yes. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mam evashyasi satyam te prati jane priyo sime. Which means, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. They are on a battlefield. Arjuna had become very antsy, very shaken, very anxious about wanting to fight this battle. And so Krishna has been talking to him and giving him the wisdom of the ancients, or the wisdom of the ages, explaining to him why he should fight this battle, and that his reasons for not wanting to fight this battle were spurious, useless, and were not helpful for his spiritual advancement. So what Krishna is teaching Arjuna, or has taught Arjuna, are not only instructions for him, but they are instructions for us as well. In fact, that's the whole purpose of this conversation. Actually, Arjuna knew all of this. He was a God-realized soul. But for the purposes of us hearing this this discourse, Krishna put him into what is called a yoga maya. Maya means illusion, but it is the illusion which comes from Krishna, not the illusion which comes from his illusory energy, maya. Maya not only puts you in illusion, but causes you lots of miseries and sufferings and troubles. But when Krishna puts you into an illusion, it's for the benefit not only of whom he's putting into illusion, but for the benefit of the whole world. And that includes us, of course. So, coming to the translation, Krishna says to Arjuna, this is near the end, it's the 65th verse. He says, always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. So let's all say that so that it gets into our conscious mind and ultimately into the subconscious. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. And offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. Now, what Srila Prabhupada means in this is that very often people structure their life in such a way that they have a time for meditation, meditate in the morning, meditate in the evening, and forget God throughout the day. That's pretty much the way it works. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that's not good enough. If you want to meditate in the morning, fine. If you want to meditate in the evening, also fine. But he says that's not enough because we need to mold our life around Krishna so that throughout our life, throughout our day, every moment if possible, we can think of Krishna. Because every moment that we think of Krishna, we eke a benefit. It's like every time just to give a material example, if you were a multimillionaire and you said to me, every time you say my name, I'll give you a $100 bill. How many people here would say, if I were that rich millionaire, how many people would say my name? Just one? Oh, now we got a few more. Come on, coming out, the truth. So the point is this, is that if somebody offers you something very valuable, very important, very useful and helpful, and it's not even costing you anything, he's saying, if you just remember my name or you chant my name, in this case I give an example, you say the person's name and it gives you a benefit. Well, Krishna is promising you a benefit. He's promising you so much, which I will go into in the course of this talk. So many benefits, actually. So let me read on so that we can find out more about these benefits. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. It means you get to meet with the Supreme Lord personally, just as we are meeting with one another now. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. So, Srila Prabhupada is saying that you can all attain the perfection that Arjuna already has, but he's forgotten temporarily. And we'll get into those benefits in just a few moments. Those words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form, with two hands, carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Ram, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So this question may be coming to your mind immediately. I know it came to my mind when I read the purport. Srila Prabhupada mentions here that we should focus and concentrate our mind only on Krishna and never mind the other incarnations. So that's a question. Because we do think about, we do worship, we do honor the other incarnations. What is being spoken of here is that, first of all, it is useful to know about the different incarnations of Krishna. They are relishable, they provide inspiration, and they give us some idea of some of the great feats, the great activities, the great events of Krishna. So, therefore, there is no harm in learning about Lord Nrisingadev, Lord Varaha. We honor all of the incarnations. But our concentration must be on Krishna. That is what Lord Chaitanya came here, to get us to focus upon Krishna. Krishna is the original incarnation of God. Krishnastu Bhagavan Svayam. That means that from Krishna, who is the original incarnation, the original personality of Godhead, the original Supreme Lord, from him comes all these different incarnations. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that why not go to the original? Now there are two aspects of the original. There's Krishna in Vrindavan, the cowherd boy whose antics and activities are very relishable and lovable. And then there's Krishna the warrior. This is a different aspect of Krishna. And different devotees are attracted to Krishna in different ways. Some love him as a little child, a little boy. Some love him as a youth. And some love him as a warrior. We have different propensities. We have different tendencies. So according to our tendencies, we fall in love with Krishna. And this is a good thing. But the main point that is being made is, yes, that we should focus upon Krishna. Now, this verse, which is a very, very important one, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Now, Krishna doesn't say to Arjuna, engage your mind, occasionally think of me, sometimes think of me. He says, always think of me. Now, what does always mean? Raise your hand. Who can tell me what always mean? Yes, what does always means? Yes, that's right. That's very good. Every moment, every minute, every hour, if you can. It's almost impossible. But having the high goal in front of us, we can come up to it. Having no goal in front of us, we don't even do it. So, therefore, if we set our mind to trying to remember Krishna, think of Krishna, adore Krishna, glorify Krishna, honor Krishna, we will do it in some manner or form. For example, some of us are working in offices, and you have computer screens, monitors in front of you. So you can put a picture of Krishna on the screen. If, of course, you don't get in trouble with your boss, he might be of another religion, maybe doesn't want you to do that. But there are other ways in which you can definitely sneak the picture of Krishna somewhere on your desk, inside a book. The important point, the important idea is to have reminders. Let me start backtrack a little bit. Why should we even think of Krishna? We say, well, he's God. Well, what does that mean? So let's get into it a little more. We were all originally Krishna-conscious living entities. Every one of us. We lived in a spiritual world. We lived in Vaikuntha. We lived in Goloka. We lived in the eternal world. And we saw and we participated in Krishna-conscious activities. We glorified Krishna. We honored Krishna. We bowed down to Krishna. We served Krishna. We loved Krishna. But at some point in time, or in eternity, I should say, we wanted to find out what it feels like to be a Krishna. What does it feel like to be loved, to be wanted, to be adored, to be served? How can I be served? Everyone serves Krishna there. Nobody's serving me. What is Krishna experiencing with all this service and glorification and honor that he's receiving? What does it feel like? What does it taste like? So when that question became more and more prominent in our mind, and we wanted to feel what it was like to be served as opposed to serving, we gradually lost our qualification for living in the spiritual world. The qualification for living in the spiritual world is that you want to serve Krishna eternally. As the woman in the back said, every moment, every minute, every hour, continuously. And the more that you serve, the more bliss there is. So one may think, well, if you're blissful, then why in the world does it matter to you what it feels like to be a Lord and to receive glorification? Well, the living entity is independent. He's independent. He can think what he wants to. Krishna doesn't dominate. Krishna doesn't boss him. People love Krishna because they want, they feel and they believe and they know that the more they love Krishna and express their love for Krishna, the happier they become. On the other hand, we have our independence. And because we have independence, we may then want to explore independently what it feels like to be a Krishna. And when that becomes an obsession in the eternal world, when that becomes all important in the eternal world, and we no longer want to serve but be served, well then what happens? You lose your qualification for living in the eternal world. We have all lost our qualification. We are all fallen souls. We fell into this material world from a spiritual world in order to get the taste, the feeling, the experience of being a Lord. So how do we express this? Well, some of us become mothers. Some of us become fathers. You become a Lord to your child. Do this. Do that. Go to bed. Get up. Go to school. So many different things. You're a Lord. And while the child is a child, he has to take it. Because he's a child, he's dependent. But when the child grows up, then he becomes your Lord. Daddy, lie down. You're tired. You're fatigued. Don't eat that. Don't eat that. So, lordship switches hands, so to speak, as we get, when we get older. You become in the old age, and then what happens is that you might be told what to do. You might be put into a nursing home or assisted living or so many of these things. But that's not the end of lordship. Lordship means, for example, not only are you head of a family, but you may be head of a business. Or you may be head of an organization. Or you may be head of, in politics, head of a political party. You may become a president, or you may become a senator. Or a councilman. You may become any of these, and in which case you make the laws. And when you make the laws, people do what you say. Don't cross on the green light, cross on the red light. If you do, you get a ticket. Don't go over 65 miles an hour. If you do, you get a ticket. So all these people getting tickets, when that law was made, somebody was responsible for it, and the person is thinking, just see, all the people are following my law. You see, it gives people a very heady, intoxicated feeling of importance. It gives you a feeling of that you're like Krishna. And when you become a big basketball star, or you become a big movie star, or you become a rock star, or any kind of a star, and people are sharing you, applauding you, screaming for you, trying to grab a swatch of your cloth, like Elvis Presley. They used to tear his clothes pretty much off his back just to get a swatch of it. They idolized him. They worshipped him. They glorified him. And they went to bed with that little swatch of Elvis's cloth and hugged it and prayed to it. It's a bit of madness, but nonetheless, that's because people were searching for a God. But what happened to our Elvis? What happened to all the great stars and heroes who had lordship? They faded out. They gradually disappear. In 300, 400, 500 years, we won't even know their names except if the history books get preserved. And who will even care about them except the people who have to go for history exams at UCLA or USC? So the important point is that these do not give permanent happiness. They only give us momentary, temporary happiness. Yes, I feel like the Lord for 5-10 minutes, and then what happens? Then what happens? I've achieved, I've accomplished, I've got it, it's in my hand. But then somebody is coming up, somebody over here is coming up, competing. He's ready to become better than I was. Maybe it's a world record. You're in the Olympics. You've got the swimming record. And then somebody comes up and breaks your record. You're flattened. You're crushed. You feel worthless now. Will I be able to beat him? I'm already 24 years old. Do I have it in me? So you're in full of anxiety. You're full of uncertainty. You're bewildered. You wonder, and you're pushing and you're struggling. And you may get some problem with your heart, or maybe your shoulder goes out, or something happens and you're crushed. Crushed because you're pinning your identity on some fictional, illusory position. Think about it. We all do it in some manner or form. It's just natural. We want to be somebody. There's this whole self-esteem movement. Self-esteem movement means tell yourself you're great, you're wonderful, you're there. Tell yourself any number of lies. It doesn't really matter. But when you have to face the reality that you're not who or what you think you are, it's very crushing and very deflating. It sure is. Better to face the reality, yes, so what if I'm unimportant? What difference does it make? If I'm connected to the supreme important one, who is Krishna, well, how could I not be important? If I'm associating with somebody very, very important and very powerful, Krishna has all opulences. He's most beautiful. He's most wealthy. He's most powerful. He's most famous. Most knowledgeable and most detached from everything. Well, and he owns everything. He's the supreme proprietor. We here in the material world are trying to be proprietors here, trying to get one home. Well, I feel great. Everybody's praising my home. I'll get another home. I've got more money. Now I'll get 3 homes, 4 homes, 5 homes. Like that champion boxer, he had 6 homes. I can't remember his name. He was the one who got in trouble with the law. Maybe some of you remember his name. I can't remember. But anyway, they buy homes just for the feeling that they are bigger and greater and grander and more wonderful. And people say, oh, he's got 6 homes, but he's miserable. He's miserable. He was so miserable that he ended up raping some girls. This was a champion boxer. I can't remember his name. I generally forget names of people who do those kind of things. So anyway, the important point, he was miserable. Always getting in trouble, not only once, but several times with the law. That's because there's no real happiness within from these different worldly material achievements. Now you may be thinking, well, are you saying that maybe I should just give up the world and not try to achieve something, not try to become somebody, not try to rise in the position? No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that don't think that the position is going to make you happy. If you perform your activities, whether it's the President of the United States or the President of Russia or whatever, or whether you are a Prime Minister, or whether you are a Senator, or whether you are a basketball star, it doesn't matter what you are. What really matters is your consciousness in what you are. If your consciousness is divine, if your consciousness is transcendental, and it can happen. I've already said at the beginning of the talk that if you learn hearing about the Lord, you chant about the Lord, you remember the Lord, you serve the lotus feet of the Lord, You worship the Lord. You pray to the Lord. You consider the Lord your greatest friend. And you surrender your body, your mind, and your intelligence to the Lord, to Krishna. Well, then what happens is that you do all your activities for whom? For Krishna. You become the president for Krishna. You take guidance from Krishna. You become a senator for Krishna. You become a great athlete for Krishna. There was one movie that played, it must have been for 22, 23 years ago. It was about two very well-known runners. And one of the runners, he ran for Krishna. And he was a champion. So that's what he became a Protestant minister. So people asked him, what motivates you? What pushes you? What makes you go? He says, I love to serve God, and this God has given me a fast pair of legs, so I'm winning trophies for him. These trophies belong to God. Oh, that's okay. That's fine. You want to be a big shot? Fine. But don't think that you're the big shot. Remember who the real big shot is. Who gives you your power? Who gives you your energy? Who gives you your thinking ability? Who gives you your moving ability? Who gives you your intelligence? Who gives you the understanding? Who gives you your love to do it? Who gives it? Who does that? Who? Tell me. Yes, Krishna does it. So why not give him the credit? And why not take shelter of him while you're performing your activities? Is that so difficult? Now, you may say, it's very difficult to remember Krishna during the day. It is difficult, but what I do is I take a marker and I put the initial of Krishna on my wrist. When I was young and we were in grammar school and we had crushes on each other, boys and girls had crushes, so they would take the initial of the guy or the girl and they would put a little heart in it with an arrow going through it. Well, I haven't gotten that far yet with the on my, but I do write the name, the initial Krishna on my wrist so that every time I look at my watch, I see the big K blazing at me, telling me, remember me. And so how can I not? So I remember, yes, Krishna, I've been forgetting you for the last 3 hours. What a fool, what an idiot, what a rascal I am. Please help me to remember you more and more. So these are just little aids. Or you can hum the beautiful tunes that we have here. You walk down the street, instead of humming some of the Walt Disney tunes like Zippity-Doo-Da, Zippity-Yay, My Oh My, What a Wonderful Day. Instead of humming that, it's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And the important point is that to incorporate Krishna into your every moment, every minute, every hour, throughout your life, so that when you go to sleep, ideally you dream about Krishna. And that is a wonderful dream, I must say. Because when you wake up the next morning, you're raring and ready to go forth and serve Krishna with love in your heart. This is the most important thing. So, as it goes, it says we should engage our minds always in thinking of Krishna. Krishna says, become my devotee. Offer your obeisances, worship me, thus completely absorb me, you will come to me. I tell you this because you are my very friend. We will all become dear. Krishna loves us all. I want to make that very clear. Every one of you is dear to Krishna. And he wants you all back. He wants you back to the spiritual world. He wants to play with you. He wants to be with you. He wants you to sing to him. And he wants to sing to you. He wants to have interaction with you. He's a person, and he's lonely. Yes, he has zillions and zillions of beings who are his children. But he knows, unlike us, he knows every one of us. And he is lonely to have our company again. And we can fulfill his desire by remembering him as often as possible. Coming to this temple is a means to do that. You hear a person like myself or one of the devotees here and there, they speak the same thing. So by coming every week, you're reminded to think of Krishna, remember Krishna, honor Krishna, sing about Krishna, and do all of the things, worship Krishna, offer you. How many here are offering their food to Krishna? Raise your hands. Oh, quite a number of you. That's wonderful. There you are. You're remembering Krishna before you eat each time. Isn't that wonderful? you offer this to Krishna, you say the certain prayers, and then you eat the prasadam, you eat the mercy food that Krishna has left after he has put his tongue all over your food. Nothing unhygienic about that, please. Don't even fear that. Don't worry about that. Not only is it not unhygienic, but it is blessed and it is beneficial. In the Catholic Church, they call that the Holy Communion, you see, or the Eucharist. So what happens is that you commune with the Supreme Lord through food. And what you will be eating in a few minutes, you will be communing with Krishna. Sometimes we forget that. But I know in the Catholic religion, they put a lot of emphasis on how they are communing with the Supreme Lord. Take a few moments before you start tasting the food and think, yes, Krishna has put his stamp, has put himself in this food, and is making it even more tasty than it would otherwise be. I am tasting Krishna, and Krishna is giving himself to me. Now, what can I do to give myself to Krishna? So, there are so many ways that we can. Try to keep in mind just one thing. The more you sacrifice for Krishna without the thought that you are even giving anything, well, why should we think we're giving anything? We owe Krishna so much. He's feeding us. He's clothing us. He's sheltering us. He's educating us. He's giving us the monies that we need to do what we have to do. So, don't we owe him something? Yes, we do. We owe him our heart. So, give your heart to your friends. Give your heart to Krishna. Give your heart to the devotees. Distribute Krishna's literature. By distributing Krishna literature, that's how you, if you will, pay back the debt that you have to Krishna. Every time you give out a Bhagavad Gita or one of the books about Krishna and share Krishna with somebody else, let me tell you, Krishna goes into ecstasy. Yes, this person has my book, and if he reads my book and he begins to understand the book, which Krishna will do, Krishna mentions very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita that he enlightens us from within. He lives in the heart. He is the super soul. And as we become closer and closer in consciousness with Krishna, what happens is that we become more Krishna conscious. Now, what does it mean to be Krishna conscious? What is the value of being Krishna? Well, you have inner peace. You have inner strength. You have inner joy. You have inner love. It's all inside. What do I mean by inside? It means that the soul is here, the super soul is here. As you express your love to Krishna, as Krishna says, the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I'm always within the heart of the pure devotee. The devotee does not know anything else but me, and I do not know anything else but him. So, when the two are together and you're expressing your love to Krishna, well, Krishna is expressing his love to you. And when you feel the love of Krishna flowing into your heart or into the soul itself, it's like a lotus in the sunshine. A lotus in the sunshine flowers, it opens, it blossoms. And your heart, your soul blossoms. And you feel full, you feel complete, you feel satisfied, you feel connected not only with Krishna, but with every being and every piece of matter that is in the existence. Because Krishna is in everything, everywhere. Therefore, if you feel that connection with Krishna in your heart, you will feel it everywhere. And you will have happiness. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme Lord, and ultimately he reaches the Supreme Lord. Krishna says, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time perform your prescribed duty of fighting, with your activities dedicated to me, and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will come to me without a doubt. There's a promise. It's a promise. He's saying, you're going to become God-realized. You're going back home, back to Godhead. No question about it. Just think of me day in, day out, until you can't get enough of me. Soon the taste will arise. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra will get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And ultimately, that sweetness will become so compelling, all-consuming, that you will never want to be separated from Krishna. You want to read about him. By the way, I wrote this book, The Supreme Mystic, for persons who want to become a little more involved in Krishna consciousness, in Krishna's pastimes and activities. They are available outside on the table. Are there any questions or comments at this point? You have a question? Yes, please. I'm not going to take this one off, because if you got the other one, that'll be fine. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for this enthusiastic Krishna conscious presentation. And Prabhu, you mentioned about Elvis Presley and how people used to try and take some of his clothing. And I was thinking, and you also mentioned Krishna's full, he is Bhagavan, he is full in all six qualities, famous and all strength and all power, all renunciation like that. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking, and you also mentioned about when we are at work, sticking a picture of Krishna on our computer, and so on like that. So my question is, we as living entities, as conditioned souls in this material world, we are attracted to certain things in this world. We are attracted to a beautiful body, you know, member of the opposite sex, or a beautiful car, or money, or position, and so on like this. And so are these... Is this actually Krishna's opulences? Are these Krishna's opulences reflected somehow on the material energy, or so it's actually Krishna we're looking for, or how does that work?
Well, the way it is, did everybody get the question? We have so many opulences, big beautiful cars and boats and airplanes and positions in the material world. These things are, you're asking, is that Krishna's opulence? Is that what your question was?
I was wondering what the things that we are actually attached to, the beautiful person, or the beautiful body, or the beautiful car, or it's actually Krishna's energy that we're attracted to. It's Krishna. Krishna's the source of all these things. So it's actually him that we're looking for.
Yes. Yes. Who are we really looking for when we see all of this opulence? The real point is that when you look at a beautiful face, you just see a beautiful face, but subconsciously, really what you're looking for is the supreme beautiful face. And all it does is remind you in some unconscious way of the supreme beauty, the supreme beautiful one, which is Krishna. And similarly, in anything which is you see in the material world, which has power in it, beauty in it, or wealth, or power. All of these things basically belong to Krishna. And we want to be Krishna. That's why we're here. So we are necessarily attracted to them because they actually belong to Krishna. But we want to be Krishna, so we try to possess them and acquire them and show them off so that people will admire us as a Krishna. That's the whole idea there. So, but these opulences are totally useless in and of themselves. If they're used for the service of Krishna, then they can be useful. You can use a car to drive to this temple. You can use a boat to get someplace. You can take an airplane to Vrindavan. All of these can be used in the loving service of Krishna. And then what happens, as Srila Prabhupada so nicely said, they become Krishnaized. We make a verb out of the word Krishna. They become Krishnaized. And then what happens is that instead of becoming more materially infected, more materially contaminated, instead of that, what you become is more material, more spiritually uplifted because you have connected with Krishna. Krishna says, one who is not connected with me in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? That's right in the Bhagavad Gita. I was going to tell you a story but it seems to be getting a little late. So how many would want to hear a rather... Oh, wow. Oh. Well, thank you. Then I'll tell it. It's a quick story, but it really is very, very significant and very much points to this the meaning of this talk. Once there was Narada Muni, who was a great sage, is a great devotee of Krishna. He visited a particular village. And in that village, there were many Brahmins, and there were many Kshatriyas, and there were agriculturists, or Vaishyas, and Shudras. So in that village, Narada Muni visited a particular Brahmin, and he said to the... he greeted the Brahmin, and the Brahmin greeted him, and he said, "Oh, my dear Narada Muni, how is the Lord doing?" Because Narada Muni could go to the eternal world and talk with the Lord, and he said, "The Lord is doing very well." And he said to the Narada Muni, "Please, would you ask the Lord?" He said, "I know that I'm going to become, I'm going back to the eternal world at the end of this life. When my body dies, I'm headed for his planet. Could you ask him about how many days or months or years that's going to be?" And Narada Muni said, "Well, no problem, I'll ask him, sure." So he went down the road, and then there was a little cobbler living there. And the cobbler was doing his business. Now, the cobblers, they work with skins. It's considered a low-caste profession. So Narada Muni greeted him, and the cobbler greeted him back, and then he said to the Lord, he said to Narada Muni, he said, "I know that you're very good friends with the Lord, but could you find out for me, you know, when, how many lives am I going to have to wait before I get back home, back to Godhead? Is it 10 lives, 50 lives?" He was very humble. He figured that because of what he was doing, the kind of work he was engaged in, that there's no chance of him getting back immediately. He'd have to become a Brahmin. So Narada Muni went to the spiritual world, and he saw the Lord, saw Lord Narayan, and he said, "Lord Narayan, I met two persons, and they asked me when they would be coming back to this world." He told them about the Brahmin, and he told them about the Sudra, the cobbler. So Lord Narayan said that you tell the Brahmin that he will be coming back here in about 100 lives. Is it 100 lives? He said, "Yeah, but he's a Brahmin. Just tell him." But why? Okay, I will explain why. When he shows surprise, then you tell him, when he asks what I was doing, tell him I was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. Okay? And you will understand why he will have to wait 100 lives. And then when you go to the cobbler, you tell the cobbler the same thing. And then you listen to his answer. And you will understand why he will be coming back at the end of this lifetime. The cobbler? He works with skin. Yes. Ask them those questions, and you will understand why the cobbler is coming right back very soon. And the Brahmin, who's performing Vedic ceremonies, who reads the scriptures, but he's very proud. So, Narada Muni went down. He went to the Brahmin. Brahmin greeted him and said, "Okay, how many years? 5 years? 10 years? 15 years? I'm coming back." He says, "No, about 100 lives." He said, "What?" He said, 100 lives. "Now, impossible. That's what the Lord said. Now, you never saw the Lord. Tell me, what was the Lord doing?" "Well, the Lord was, he was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle." "Ha! You never saw the Lord. Nobody can do that." So, immediately, Narada was starting to get the inkling of what this was all about. So, he went down to the cobbler's place, and he said to the cobbler, "Hello? I generally don't get a musical accompaniment whenever I talk, but this is something unusual. Please turn your cell phone off or go outside, please, and listen to. Thank you." So, anyway, what happened? He went to the cobbler, and then the cobbler, he told the cobbler, "You're coming back to my abode, to my residence, right at the end of this life, which will not be too far off." He says, "Really?" The Lord said that? Yes, he did. Well, what was he doing when you saw him? Well, he was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. He says, oh, that's wonderful. And the artist says, you believe that? He says, well, of course I believe it. Well, why do you believe it? And he said, you see this big oak tree over here? Huge, big, big. He says, yes. And then he pointed to the ground. You see this little acorn here? Which is the seed of the oak tree? And he picked it up. He says, yes. He said, well, if Lord Narayan could put that huge, big, big tree in this little acorn, then what is the problem for threading an elephant through the eye of a needle? So the point is this, is when a person is humble, he's modest, he's unassuming, and he realizes that God can do anything, there is no limit to him, and when he actually understands this higher truth, then what happens is God reveals his knowledge in the heart. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the understanding by which they may come to me. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you. All glories to Lord Sri Krishna ki. And please come to the festival next weekend. I do have CDs of all of these different books of Srila Prabhupada. If you want to hear them in your car, you can get them that way, or you can read them. You can go to the book table. But we can take care of you. If you're walking in the street, you can still read the books through your ears. Hare Krishna.